This is an ABC podcast.
This is Baby Talk Podcast with Penny Johnston.
If there was ever a group you would feel were the most impacted by the COVID-19 crisis, it would probably be pregnant women and new mothers. How can we support women during this period, and what are the unique challenges that they're facing? How can we all help make it a little bit easier?
We really needed to know how women were feeling during this time. And to know what do we need to advocate for? Is it that women don't feel they're getting the right information? We can't just simply say to women, everything remains the same around your lifestyle, so just go out and do it, if they're feeling very stressed about the external environment and how to cope during this period.
Because the period in and around birth is a significant phase for women. It's associated with increased risk of adverse mental health. And the COVID-19 pandemic appears to be increasing vulnerability in this population of young women. Monash University has led a research program looking at how pregnant women and new mothers have responded to the information available during those confusing early days of the pandemic, back between January and May. Dr. Cherise Harrison is a senior research fellow from Monash University's School of Public Health and Preventative Medicine. Dr. Cherise, tell me about how you usually work with women's health during more ordinary times.
We work extensively across the spectrum of women's reproductive health. So we also have a really vested interest in the health of women. I definitely think women in and around the time of birth, but also young mothers with children, have been significantly impacted. There are a lot of vulnerable populations, obviously, that are affected by the COVID-19 pandemic, and we're certainly not taking away from their issues. But women in particular have that extra layer, particularly around the time of birth and carrying a baby, but also planning for a pregnancy as well, and the intricacies and the implications of what they might have, I guess, in the COVID-19 environment.
Tell me about your specific interest and how the world of public health research and women's health in particular intersect for your career.
My interest in women's health did originate around pregnancy care. I've always had an interest in pregnancy care and optimising the health of women in and around the time of pregnancy. We've done a lot of work around optimising weight. So I guess my more specific background is around optimising health and weight in women, because pregnancy is a really high risk time in a woman's life. It's relatively short, but it's very high risk for adverse lifestyle, basically, and that then feeds into sort of increased risks of weight gain and accelerated weight gain in pregnancy.
Any woman who's been subject to the stay-at-home rules, which is mainly Victorian expectant mothers at the moment, it would be even more difficult. It's putting another layer of difficulty that can affect all those aspects.
Absolutely. Just that disruption. It's already, women already have so many barriers around healthy lifestyles. Generally, women know what to do. We sort of know what a healthy lifestyle looks like in terms of diet and physical activity, but it's putting it into action that's the hardest thing to do, and the planning aspect of it and removing all those barriers. So when you've got a COVID-19 environment and you're not allowed to go anywhere, or you're only allowed to go out for a certain amount of time, and you've got, you know, little children, and, you know, doing physical activity with children is good, but it's often not quite at the beneficial level to get that weight gain prevention, and things like that becomes really difficult to factor in. You know, we've just got so much on our plates just trying to think about, I think, all the restrictions and the rules and what can I do. And obviously in the context of a pregnancy, again, around their health care, you can see how easy it would be to let those things slide, that you think, I can put that off, I can do it another time, I'll start next week, I'll go for that walk next week, or I'm going to start cooking healthier next week. And there's just that propensity, I guess, being indoors, sitting for so much longer than what we're used to or what we might regularly do. So all of those contributing factors, I think, that make it exacerbated, I guess, in COVID-19 times.
We all have joked about the 19 kilos that we're all going to gain from, you know, having our office next to the fridge, apart from anything else.
And yes. The kids coming in. I'm petrified to put my jeans on at the moment. As we emerge into spring and the weather gets really nice, we naturally want to kind of get out there a bit more, which is still hard because we've got the restrictions. And yes, working from home means we've got access to food continually that we might not have had when we were at work, which means we're maybe subconsciously eating a little bit more than what we might have done beforehand.
Yeah, and let's not lose sight of the fact that if you are pregnant, there's a heck of a lot of stress, because everybody when they're pregnant at some point goes, what the heck am I doing? You know, this is taking it up exponentially.
Exactly. And I think for some women probably thinking, well, I'm just going to persist with my plans around pregnancy. But we certainly know from those recent research findings that some women are thinking, well, maybe I should be putting this off. Should I even be doing this at all? Is this a good time? Maybe I shouldn't be doing it. And yeah. We're sort of seeing this emergence of sort of postponing family planning, which is really interesting as well in terms of the spectrum of what women's thoughts are around pregnancy and birth. And we certainly know there's other women that are obviously persisting and just taking it in their stride, so to speak.
Well, we know that there are dangers to putting off getting pregnant, that yeah. biological clock just ticks along, pandemic or no.
Absolutely.
And
yeah.
I've seen even a few posts on social media of women who are pregnant that were almost a little bit sheepish about
COVID baby.
Yeah, the COVID baby.
It's going to be like a boom. You know, like after the war, there was a baby boom, you know, yeah. Like I wonder, it'll be interesting to see if there have been a lot of women putting off becoming pregnant during COVID, if once it does dissipate a little bit, if we will see that boom, I guess, the secondary wave.
And I wonder whether there's a bit of a biological impact of everyone's just a bit more relaxed, you're not racing from pillar to post, you have got a bit more time to concentrate on your other half, and
yeah.
some of that tension that was preventing conception's gone away.
Potentially. And, you know, I mean, during pregnancy for women, a lot of that social aspect is affected, you know, in terms of women going out and things like that. So being at home more because of COVID can also potentially be seen as, well, I'm at home a lot anyway, so now might be a good time because I've got more, yeah, concentrated more at just me and my partner and my family. We're at home. I don't have to worry about the external stresses of things that are coming up that I might not be able to enjoy anyway.
At Monash Uni, you guys surveyed a whole heap of women who were pregnant or expecting babies just to find out how their stress levels were going during the COVID-19 situation.
Yeah, that's right. So we wanted just to look at, given that we work predominantly in this area of women's health, part of our program planning around optimising women's healthy lifestyle behaviours, we recognise that in order to be able to do that and formulate evidence-based recommendations, we really needed to know how women were feeling during this time. And to know what do we need to advocate for? Is it that women don't feel they're getting the right information, or do they feel they've got the right information but putting that information into action they need support with? You know, we can't just simply say to women everything remains the same around your lifestyle, so just go out and do it, if they're feeling very stressed about the external environment and how to cope during this period, which is obviously first and foremost. So we just wanted to gauge in a rapid kind of analysis, I guess, the sentiment of women in and around the time of birth in Australia and how they were feeling around COVID-19 and really what their main concerns were, because at the time there really wasn't a lot of information. I mean, the research in COVID-19 is obviously a rapidly evolving field with lots of different dimensions. And for us, the thing that we were really obviously concerned about was perinatal health. So that sort of led us to try and see if there was any information out there, which there wasn't at the time. And so we sort of embarked on this rapid analysis, yeah, of women in and around the time of birth and how they were feeling.
Because the only information was coming through from China. Now there's a few months of research and understanding from the United States and the UK and Europe. Have you noticed any lessening of concerns because of the more information that's on the ground now?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, I think there's a part of our analysis. We collected information on anything related to COVID-19 that women were talking about in a leading Australian parenting forum. And we didn't exclude any date range. We just collected anything that women were talking about. And obviously, that as a rapidly evolving field, some of those concerns that women were having are being addressed by health authorities. So when women mentioned very early on around safety around attending hospitals and what should I do and I don't know where to get any relevant information. I mean, obviously, the health authorities have done a lot of work in reassuring women around their antenatal care that it is safe to attend, and there's been clarity around, you know, birthing partners and who can attend and who can't and things like that as the situation has evolved. So I definitely think with more time there's been more clarity and a catch up, if you like, of information provision to obviously the population, but to those specific higher risk or more vulnerable populations, of which this is one of them.
Early March, nobody wanted to walk through the doors of a hospital. It was the last place you wanted to be.
Yeah, so, you know, really confronting, I think, you know, because I think for a lot of young women, they're not necessarily regularly engaged with the healthcare system. You know, often pregnancy might even be the first time that they're regularly attending a hospital for their care. So that's quite different and confronting in itself. But when you've got COVID, you know, a medical pandemic, if you like, the hospitals are a major hotspot for that, you know, in terms of care, that would be confronting for an otherwise healthy woman that's just attending and obviously has got really profound concerns around the health of her baby and ensuring the health of her baby. And what we found is that there were a few comments around, should I even attend that hospital appointment? I don't think I should attend my scan. I don't think it's safe to do that. I don't want to travel anywhere. And obviously that's very risky because those appointments, especially in the early days, all the way through pregnancy, are really important to keep track of the health of the mother and baby. So just saying I'm not going to go is definitely not ideal and just really reflects the amount of confusion really amongst women in those early days.
Well, there still wasn't any decisive information about how you would give birth if you had COVID-19 or whether the baby would get it or whether you could breastfeed. Again, we're lucky that the information coming through from other countries has really informed the way our health system is dealing with birth at the moment. But one thing that has definitely impacted, there's not the opportunity for visitors to come traipsing in and out of hospital. And I suspect that that is a bit of a two-edged sword. On the one hand, it's devastating not to have all the attention and let everybody in to meet the baby. It could be awful for other children in the family. But on the other hand, a few friends who are midwives have actually suggested that it is lovely for the mothers who don't have to get the hairdo, they don't have to get exhausted by the visitors, they just get the chance to zen and bond with the baby, and it's just their own little beautiful newborn bubble. That may actually be a slightly better way of doing things.
Yeah, look, that's a really kind of interesting take. I think from the research that we analysed, there was definitely a theme there of this sort of guilt-tampered happiness around, you know, things being taken away from women, traditional kind of social, you know, traditions that women have almost have the right of passage as a part of their pregnancy are all sort of being stripped away. And that having that baby and having those visitors in the hospital is a huge occasion for a lot of women, you know, to share that joy and, you know, have everyone, you know, fuss over the baby and hold the baby and photos and things like that is a really special time for a lot of women. And obviously that's being deprived at the moment. So I think that there's a sense of loss in a way around that, certainly around the confusion around the birthing partner there. Really great that that's now resolved and women can have that partner in hospital because, you know, they need that tremendous amount of support. Now, I guess the other way to think about it is what you just said, is that it can also provide a real bonding opportunity just between mum, dad, baby, without the pressures, as you say, of it having lots of external visitors, which for some women with big extended families would probably be quite stressful, I would imagine. But it's just a shame that there's no control over that, I guess, that women don't get that choice as to what they would like. This is the way it's going to be, which I think is the shame, because while some women it might be a blessing, I think for other women it would be a loss.
And I suppose it's interesting that the midwives are reporting that the mothers seem more relaxed. And in some families, under normal circumstances, you wouldn't get a choice. You would not keep them out of the hospital, those big families.
Yes, that's it. They come through the door, you know, at the first opportunity. And that's hard when you're trying, you know, you've just given birth, trying to establish feeding or what have you, especially for first-time mothers. Obviously, you feel like you've been hit by the side of a bus. You know, I remember a midwife explaining to me that, you know, once you give birth, it almost takes your emotional side quite a while to kind of catch up with what's happened physically, you know. So to kind of reconcile how you're feeling physically with how you're feeling emotionally, and then you've got visitors on top of that that want to come in straight away and it's sort of all happening. Yeah, I guess in this environment it could be a sort of slower pace because that's all not happening. So there's a nice opportunity there. Definitely.
Yeah. One of the things that you found in the research is that women were starting to discuss home births. Now, to me, that sounds terribly extreme, but it was a genuine thread.
Yeah, well, this sort of goes back to what I was saying before around it just really reflects the confusion around the safety of hospitals and attending hospitals, to not want to go, to want to consider a home birth is absolutely extreme. It just, really reflects how women, the state of mind that women must be in, because it would be there are women obviously out there that do advocate for home births, but, you know, I'd argue that the majority do not and attend hospital obviously for the birth of their baby. So for those women that wouldn't otherwise be thinking that way to start to consider wanting to do a home birth just seems really extreme, you know, in terms of their thinking and their feelings around the fact that they would rather consider that than go to hospital just seems crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah. Has that sort of slowed down now that restrictions have eased for most of Australia?
Yeah, I think over time, as information has caught up and become clearer, hospitals have got their policies in place of how they're delivering their antenatal care for women. Some of that is via telehealth and some is in person. There's clarity around the birthing process and presenting to hospital and things like that. I think that as that's become clearer, women are then therefore more reassured around what is happening, and therefore with that reassurance they're gaining confidence, knowledge, and then obviously comfort and in presenting for their care in hospitals. I think that has dissipated over time as information's become more accessible and clearer.
We know that for women who are pregnant, giving birth after birth, it is a really difficult time for mental health, and there's a heap of different reasons behind that. I mean, some of them are just dead set hormonal, I guess. How have you found that a pandemic on top of all that has affected women's mental health?
Yes, I think that it's generally recognised that the perinatal period is a really vulnerable time for women physically, you know, and psychologically. And having a pandemic on top of that, it's intuitive that they're going to be more vulnerable, I guess, in terms of that distress. And certainly that analysis did show that, you know, compared to just a reference perinatal period. Women in the perinatal period, I should say, during this COVID-19 timeframe, definitely the sentiment is much more negative. You know, we're seeing terms around worry, stress, anxiety, scared, those sorts of terms that, you know, are being used much more. I'm concerned, I'm not sure what to do. So I definitely think that the COVID-19 environment is exacerbating that vulnerability in women. And I think a really important part of that is this social support that is recognised that women in this period need. They need more social support. Irrespective of COVID-19, that need for social support doesn't dissipate. But yet the environment is sort of mandating physical distancing and social distancing, which then in turn means that women are potentially more isolated. Maybe not so much from partners and things like people that they're living with, but we're sort of talking about the wider ramifications around family, friends, access to mothers' groups or support from mothers that are in the same period in person. Those are the sorts of things that are being denied from women that don't change. Women still need those things, but they're not able to access them necessarily at this time. And that is a really big thing for women to miss out on.
You don't need to be in Victoria to be impacted by that, because women all around the country, all around the world, will be holding their newborns a bit tighter and their range of movement will be restricted for many women, even if there isn't necessarily risk, they'll be still frightened of the risk.
Yeah, and this all feeds back into other considerations around those social rituals that women really look forward to having. A lot of women look forward to, you know, sharing that joy around their pregnancy, around gatherings to celebrate the baby in all different formats, in all different cultures. There's different traditions, but those aren't allowed during this period. And you can see how the cumulative kind of effect of having all of those things denied. We can't have that. We might not be able to have a baby shower or a gender reveal or whatever it might be that women like to do that are really common these days. No, you can't have that. No, you can't have visitors in the hospital. No, you can't have anyone visit the baby after the birth. No, we're not doing a mother's group in person at the moment. No, you're not allowed. You know, those things when you're already vulnerable to distress and those psychosocial sort of aspects of perinatal health would all act to impact the health of women during that time.
Yeah, they're all the good bits, aren't they?
Yeah, well, they're all the things that you really look forward to. And I think it would be really common for women out there to be like, well, I'm really sad that I don't get any of that. I mean, that would be so common to feel that way because you're not allowed to have any of those things. So, of course, you would be feeling really isolated. It's not fair. There's a sense of also when you do feel happiness, that sort of with terms sort of guilt tampered happiness of when you're feeling really happy, but you feel like you're not allowed to be happy because there's so much misery going on in the external environment with, you know, case numbers and, you know, deaths and things like that as a result of COVID-19. And then you've got your own little happy bubble in a way that you sort of feel like you're not allowed to share with anyone, which was a really common theme as well that women were sharing, that they were feeling, you know, really happy in some ways, but felt that they weren't allowed to share that widely because of the environment as well, which was really interesting.
In your work, I'm really intrigued how you might answer this question, but how do you feel that public health, particularly around women and pregnancy and childbirth and that antenatal period, how do you think public health is going to respond to the ongoing difficulty of COVID-19? Because let's face it, it's not going anywhere fast.
Yeah, exactly. Look, I think the positives are that there's been a lot of work done around information for women. And this is constantly evolving as more information has come to hand and understanding about COVID-19 and the safety and the risks and things has come to light. There's been a lot of work done around improving the public health messaging for women in pregnancy and their antenatal care. So that's positive. And you know, that's now in turn, as we sort of previously said, increase the reassurance around hospital attendance and things like that. I think now what's really required is those secondary things and considerations that we've sort of just spoken about around ensuring that women can still have access to the support that they need, but that's delivered in a COVID-safe way, so that we're not denying women the opportunity to have those social networks and supports, but it's just delivered slightly differently, because as you say, it isn't going to go away and we will have to be vigilant for quite a while around how things that are traditionally run are run and if they're delivered in a different way. So I'm sort of talking about support groups for women and visitors, and hopefully with these restrictions relaxing in the coming months, that some normality can improve. But I think the support for women just needs to be considered and delivered in a COVID-safe way is sort of the current aspect that we're advocating for.
Dr. Cherise Harrison, Senior Research Fellow from Monash University's School of Public Health and Preventative Medicine, and her work with what is worrying new mothers during this time of COVID, I guess is something that will need to continue as health professionals need to adapt to as the world continues to change, no thanks to the COVID pandemic. Baby Talk, if you want to find us online, there will be links to Dr. Harrison's research, and you can find this podcast either on iTunes or on the ABC Listen app, and it's easy to share.
Hello, this is Baby Talk.
Please share this podcast because sharing is nice.
And, of course, liking us on Facebook and giving us a rating on iTunes helps other people find the Baby Talk podcast too. I'm Penny Johnston, and I'll see you next time on Baby Talk.
ABC Baby Talk is a weekly podcast on ABC Digital Radio, wherever you get your podcasts, and on the ABC Listen app. Like us on Facebook to find out as soon as a new episode is ready. Just search for ABC Baby Talk.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.